morning. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, and this is Jangle Heaven. I'm your host, Jack, and we're starting off here with something that you don't normally hear on this show, and that's the music of J.S. Bach, this particular piece from Wasche auf. And the reason I wanted to start with this is because a lot of people like to maybe overstate Bach's importance to all genres of music, but in the case of Jangle Heaven, this is no overstatement. And the Baroque era that Bach started and perfected can be heard all across the jangly music that came about hundreds of years later. And we'll start off with some people who took more direct inspiration from the classical music, from Baroque music, and then go more into something you might normally hear on the show. But to start off, I'll be starting with a song by John Cale. I also want to say, it was kind of a treacherous journey over here to the studio today. I would not advise coming outside. Just stay inside, listen to 91.5, and enjoy the music from the safety of your home. But this is Paris 1919 by John Cale.
Thank you.
So that was John Cale with Paris 1919, obviously influenced by at least the Baroque sound and texture, very prominent harpsichord. You know, he's talking about, I guess it would be about the Treaty of Versailles. So, you know, Palace of Versailles, grand, I think Baroque architecture. I'm not exactly sure when it was built, but very evocative of the excessive Baroque ornamental music that Bach composed, but with a lot of purpose. Also, the descending bass line, pretty reminiscent of some of the Baroque works that employ the same technique. I think that one's great. It's also the title of the album. Just very grand and kind of stately and elegant, but something you can have fun singing to. Has a great chorus. Now, a song that is influenced by Bach, less in sort of texture and sound and technique, but really just Bach's melodies and his great skill for writing catchy melodies. And this is a song also from, well, actually, Paris 1919 was from 1973. This is from the 60s, but definitely the era of greater interest in Bach. And this song actually directly, you know, interpolates a Bach melody. You can say that instead of steal. I think it was all public domain at this point. And this is Someone I Know by Margot Gurian. So I hope you enjoy. So that was Margot Gurian, Someone I Know, and that, of course, I guess, samples is what I could have said before. Yesu, I think it's Joy of Man's Desiring. Should probably have that memorized. It's those words, maybe in a different order. But it's really great the way she does it. Because the song alone is fine, and you just have this Bach theme kind of in the background. She just coexists with Bach on this great little Baroque pop track. So I'm looking through what else I have here. All right. I have another song planned, also from the 60s. These are kind of going to go together. You'll see that this influence is common on both sides of the Atlantic during the pop era of the late 60s. So far we've had John Cale, who's Welsh, and Margot Gurian, who I believe was working in the United States. So let's go back over to England then. This is The Zombies with Care of Cell 44.
Counting the days until they set you free.
And there you go. That's Carousel 44 by the Zombies. I think maybe there's a bit of a pattern here. The British here are a little more concerned with the texture and the sound of Bach with all this harpsichord and all this descending bass line business. And I just love the break between the start of the chorus and the middle of it, where it's just the a cappella section and the bass voice goes down to the seventh of the chord, and that's just, it's very Baroque, I guess. It's a crazy sound. But the Zombies are really, today only thought of, I guess, around here as the British counterpart to a band that we had in America and that was doing a lot of the same things and certainly had Bach to thank for it. So let me play some Beach Boys. And I think I'll start with Surf's Up from Smile, the Smile version. So this is Surf's Up by the Beach Boys.
The diamond necklace played the pawn, and a handsome drum along walked to a handsome man at baton. A blind class aristocracy, back through the opera glass, you see the pit and the pendulum drum. Taken me, dim chandelier awakened me to a song dissolved in the dark. The music hall, a costly bow, the music all is lost for now to a muted trumpeter's sworn.
Thank you.
Surf's Up by the Beach Boys. And now we're getting into probably my favorite thing to come out of Bach's influence in pop music, and that's these beautiful vocal harmonies. I think the Beach Boys did record 4-part, which is very idiomatic for Baroque music. And that's just really a start there, and Surf's Up's a beautiful song, especially at the end. That's really why I picked out the Child is the Father of the Man part, which they do just so well. But that's really not enough to get an idea of what the Beach Boys can do. So I'm going to play a song from Pet Sounds, one of their, you know, most highly regarded albums. And this is one that maybe isn't the most popular on the album, but it has always been one of my favorites. And then afterwards, we'll get into more of this vocal harmony that really feels out of place in you know, the world of modern pop and jangly pop music. But I also wanted to say that the Beach Boys, I don't know, they've always been, I started getting into the Beach Boys around the same time I started really listening to a lot of classical music, and I think while they're definitely not the same listening experience, they're definitely related. There's a lot that goes into the Beach Boys that you can just analyze over and over again, and I think that's just unusual for pop. And Brian Wilson and the rest of them put a lot of work and consideration into these complex songs. Not that a song has to be complex to be good, or even complex to call this Bach sound into the music, but there is something to be said for the willingness to make such a complex arrangement of sounds work. So here's some more from the Beach Boys. This is I Just Wasn't Made for These Times.
I keep looking for a place to fit in where I can speak my mind. Go!
So you just heard two songs there. I started out with the Beach Boys again, with I Just Wasn't Made for These Times, which started, you know, showing off how these modern artists have incorporated this vocal harmony that's very involved in and with multiple parts, changing around, counterpoint, kind of, you know, like the music of J.S. Bach. And I somewhat suddenly and jarringly switched to a song from, I guess it was from 2003, that was the Essex Green with the late, great Cassiopeia. And that actually brings into another important part of the music that's been played here, the organ. And the organ with these big chords in the background, not so much the 60s organ with the bluesy runs going on, but just adding texture. And Bach wrote a lot for the organ, too. And now I'm going to stray even farther from where we were just a few songs ago. I'm going to play a song that doesn't even have Baroque pop as a subgenre on RYM. This is completely out of left field, but it has beautiful vocal harmonies that, well, maybe they have nothing to do with Bach, but that's what we're talking about now, and that's what I want to show you. So, this is Warm Girls by Girls at Our Best.
Line breeze.
That was Warm Girls by Girls at Our Best. Just such an amazing song. Completely underrated, too. I really wish that was more well-known. I guess it's actually... There's a few more thousands of listeners now, so I'm okay with that. But, yeah, just a great showcase of those beautiful counterpoint... you know, probably four-part vocal harmonies on the choruses, and they're just so amazing. And there's the bass doing a very, like, Baroque kind of figured bass almost at the bottom. Unfortunately, Bach did not invent four on the floor, but it's here anyway, so I'll take it. Yeah, there's just not much more I can say. It's just such a great song. The lyrics are really pretty cool, too, pretty interesting. I wish I knew more of the story behind them, but... sounds like some kind of statement. So, you know, keeping in this kind of maybe tenuous connection with Bach, I'm going to go to another song that I listen to all the time, and I've probably played on here before, but I just read something about it, that the bass player was instructed by the songwriter to play this very specific bass line that was deemed the perfect counterpoint to the melody and guitar part. So, I don't know, you could be the judge of that, but if there's one thing Bach is known for, it's probably counterpoint. So let's give him a chance to replicate what Bach was talking about. And this is XTC with the Mayor of Simpleton, which is a great song. I did hear it in CVS last week, so maybe, I don't know. I don't know what right I have to be playing a song that's now commercial core or whatever, but I love it, so... I'm gonna play it.
Nothing that I care about. Well, I don't know what to do.
So I do hope you were listening with headphones. Otherwise, it might have been a little bit difficult to hear the bass. In the studio, it was actually very easy, which I'm happy about. I think the only time I've ever had an issue with the speakers in here was with Snow Globes, where I really couldn't hear anything but the drums. But that was a good way to hear it, actually, I think. I'm happy I experienced that. But back to The Mayor of Simpleton, I think you maybe got an idea of how the bass is very active and moving during the verses, and really the chorus, too, and it's always trying to be somewhere else in the melodic universe of the key, which I think is, I think it's in G major. And I just love how at the end it kind of switches to this very post-punk indie, like, almost polyrhythmic kind of thing in three over the outro, which is just kind of crazy. It's a great song, though. The chorus is really one of their best. This might be my favorite XTC song, really. I think they have so many albums, so there's a lot of good there. A lot of kind of filler, maybe. I just listened to Nonesuch for the first time, and there's a few just really great songs. That was the one immediately after the one with The Mayor of Simpleton, which was Oranges and Lemons, which I have not listened to that album fully. I guess I should. There's King for a Day is on there, too. But I want to move on to something that that might be more recognizable, more appreciated here at Tufts by a lot of listeners, a lot of college students, but still definitively Baroque influenced, it feels very at home in this playlist. So this is Wise Blood with Every Day.
I'm so scared of being alone.
Why is Blood with Every Day? And I think that that's a perfect culmination of all this influence from the 60s that really built on this classical texture and sound and melodic principle. But it's also very, I don't know, it has a lot of this 70s rock sound too. The chorus is a little bit Fleetwood Mac, Don't Stop. But you hear a lot of, I've talked about how much this song reminds me of Penny Lane, and there's a little bit of Strawberry Fields in there too. It's just very 60s, 70s, but with the new, I like how she kind of integrates it together. It doesn't sound like it's from that time. It just sounds like it's influenced by it. It's a good update on that kind of sound, and the texture's, I think, influenced by Bach in its own way. But what if history hadn't brought the pop genius of the Beatles and et cetera, the Zombies, the Beach Boys, to the, you know, the most notable examples of this and led to Wiseblood? Well, there were, you know, another big movement of people going in different directions with this Baroque sound, one of which is Van Dyke Parks, who worked with the Beach Boys, but actually, I think, well, he sang background vocals on... what's it? A Day in the Life of a Tree, I think. And he wrote a lot of lyrics for the Smile album. But he, I don't think he contributed any actual music to them. But his own music's very very cool, very interesting, and definitely influenced by classical music. He was a classically trained musician. And he's also, I don't know, he acts like a boomer on Twitter. It's kind of funny. He just posts like low resolution pictures of celebrities whose birthday it is. He's also really rude to his fans, which is kind of funny. Someone like asked him to listen to their own music and he was like, I don't have time for that, publicly on Twitter for everyone to see. But you know, it's been a long time since he released some of his great works like Song Cycle. But this is Palm Desert, one of the more well-known songs. Well, I shouldn't really say that. a song from Song Cycle. I love it. I got into Van Dyke Parks as I was getting into the Beach Boys too, and it's just really something to listen to over and over again and find something you missed. So here's Palm Desert by Van Dyke Parks.
Palm Desert, market to buy, tenderfoot up to date, palms of the real estate. My palm desert springs off and run dry. I came west, done to Hollywood, never, never land juxtaposed. We did. Stood by the bed.
Van Dyke Parks, and that was something really interesting, I guess. Kind of just a crazy sound if you've never heard it before. Thinking about it now, definitely more influenced by the early 20th century music, kind of vaudeville and early pop, I guess, early jazz, ragtime maybe even. There's some stuff on here that's a little more Bach, a little more Baroque, but I think that gives a good idea of what he's going for with texture. And it's just so interesting that you know, he released a couple albums, but he goes all over the place. He really never does anything quite like that again. He has another album called Discover America, and it's all calypso music, which he does a great job with, really. I love that album. I also appreciated in Palm Desert the shout out to Hillside. He says Hillside Manners, not quite what we have here, but I think it's close enough. But now it's time to read a PSA, and I'm actually happy that I guess there is a lot of snow and it is a little annoying to get around, but I did read a winter storm safety PSA, and I said that maybe this won't go to use now that the season for snow is coming to an end, but of course we live in New England, so it's never that predictable. So here's pedestrian safety. Pedestrian safety is a two-way street. Both drivers and walkers need to do their part to keep roads safe. When you're driving, drive at safe speeds, drive alert, and always scan the road and sidewalks ahead for pedestrians. It's the law to stop for pedestrians when they're crossing at both marked crosswalks and intersections. When you're walking, remember that drivers may not see you. Continue to watch for traffic as you cross. Always use crosswalks and obey all traffic signals. A life-saving message from your friends at WMFO in Medford. And to finish off here, seeing that we only have a minute left, I'm going to play just a snippet of a song that I really like. It's not very jangly. Well, it's harpsichordy, I guess that counts. It's not very indie. But the man has Bach in his name. This is Bert Bacharach with Reach Out For Me off of his album Reach Out, which is just kind of an instrumental collection of his songs from movies and things. I've always liked this music, so... I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.